studies teacher. I am interested in current events. I'm interested in what's going on in the world. I'm interested in all of that, which makes me a news junkie. A news junkie. That's what I am. And I've had situations in the past where I've had to turn the TVs off, where I've had to turn the computer off, where I've had to get away from the news because I'm also a human. And after you break a TV or two, you realize that doesn't hurt the news. That doesn't hurt the people that are saying what you don't like hearing. One of the things that gets me is how people can do what people do. And these are good people. These are people that call themselves Christians. These are people that say they love the Lord. And yet they do what they do. And I'm not going to talk about right or wrong because right now we have a sliding scale of morality. And I'm not even going to say what I'm most upset about. I'll just say it's happening in New York and West Virginia. And no matter what you say, it's murder. The question I've got, because I have two sons that are 22 and 24, is at what age can I do this now? Can I flip it and take it to their age? If they cause me mental anguish, maybe there's something to be said for that. I don't know. Yeah, I got to, don't I? You're called to. Last week, a church in California put up a statement. And it wasn't, in my eyes, that bad a statement. It just said, Bruce Jenner's still a man. Homosexuality's still a sin. The culture may change, but the Bible remains the same. I didn't look at that as hate speech. People boycotted the church. People protested the church. People came and destroyed the sign. Okay, here's the thing. They did it out of love. Or at least that's what they said. They said it wasn't an anti-religious thing. It was more of a love for people that hate speech hurt. Sliding morality. And in all of that, the only thing I could do was pray. And in praying, you know what the Lord told me? Y'all want to go to John 10? Okay, I know somebody's got one. Amplified Bible. John 10, 14. Amplified.
Okay, that's amplified.
Yeah. John 10. No, John 10.
John, starting in verse number 14.
Starting in 14.
I am the good shepherd, and I know without any doubt those who are. My own. In mine own, know me, and have a deep personal relationship with me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my very own life, sacrificing it for the benefits of the sheep. I have other sheep besides these that are not in this fold. I must bring those also, and they will listen to my voice and pay attention to my call. And they will become one. They will become one flock with one shepherd. The sheep that are my own hear my voice and listen to me. I know them and they follow me.
I got some more, but yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
Who do you listen to? Whose shepherd do you have?
Our shepherd. The shepherd.
Whose sheep are you?
His sheep.
You know, one of the things about it is, even though these sheep say that they're Jesus's, I don't think they're listening to His voice. They're confused. They hear other voices. They listen to the other voices. But one of the sad things about life is this. You attune your ears to what you want to hear. You know, they've done studies on shepherds and sheep. Did you know that? I mean, this is stuff they've done. And one of the things they have found is, you know, they've tried to decide, did the sheep see the shepherd? Was it a visual clue? What was it that allowed a shepherd to control his sheep? And they've gone out and they've had shepherds in disguise and other people dressed as that shepherd call the sheep, and then the shepherd called the sheep. Who do you think the sheep responded to? Their shepherd. The voice they knew. It was all voice. Part of that is, over a period of time, there's a relationship that builds up. Over a period of time, the sheep have learned to listen to the shepherd. The shepherd takes care of the sheep. The shepherd feeds the sheep. He waters the sheep. He protects the sheep. He keeps those from outside from eating the sheep. The sheep have developed a relationship and listen to that voice. So the question is, whose voice do you listen to? Whose shepherd do you have? In this world of sliding morality, in this world where we say we're Christians but we act like we're not, who do we listen to? I teach high school. 2,500 students, give or take. I think there's like 28, but 25 is a good round number I can live. What morality do you think these kids have? Little or none. The world. They listen to the world. They're on their phones all the time. Their phone tells them what they want to know. The phone tells them how to think. The phone tells them what to decide. What's right, what's wrong. And what's wrong 10 years ago is now right. We look at life and we see this sliding morality. And I'm not going to pick on marijuana because I don't care. I don't care one way or the other. But how many states is it now legal to smoke marijuana in?
27.
Do you know it's legal to grow marijuana in Texas? As a medical marijuana, you can grow it. I ain't figured this one out yet because to sell it, you can't sell it in Texas. You have to sell it in a different state that it's legal in. And to sell it in a different state makes it interstate. And as far as I know, the country, it's still illegal. So, once again, sliding morality. And that has nothing to do with Christianity, or does it? Obey your Lord first. You know, one of the things that gets me is how many times do we see something that's not right? Don't say anything. How many times do we see something right and we don't stand up and share? Where are we at? Whose voice are we listening to? And I'm not, as the saying goes, if I point a finger at you, understand this, how many are pointing back at me? How many times have I not said what I need to say? How many times have I not taught my children what I needed to teach them? If I'm disappointed with their actions, who's to blame? I've done the best I could. I led them the way they need to be led. They're adults now, they get to make their own decisions. But sometimes it comes back on me. Sometimes I wonder, was there one thing I did not do that I should have done? Was there one action that they did that I should have done something about? We all have doubts. We all have these things that come back on us. But I'll ask you this again. Whose sheep are you? Because even in my doubts and my fears, whose sheep am I? If I'm His and recognize His voice, won't He quieten my fears? Won't He lead me beside still waters? Won't His rod and staff comfort me? He'll lay me down in a green pasture. How do I know if I'm listening to His voice? You know, there's two actions I can tell you right up front we need to do as Christians. You know what those two actions are? Might be a hint. Read the Word. You know what the other hint is? Oh, see, y'all got this down. You read the Word and you pray. And when you pray, we don't become dyslexic Christians. You know what a dyslexic Christian is? We spell God backwards. Instead of going before Him like the Lord, or like Jesus said, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name," giving Him the glory, we go before the Lord and say, "I need a new car. Go fetch it. I'm in this trouble. Get me out. Lord, take care of this. If you take care of this, I'll be yours." I hate to tell you something. You're His whether you take care of it or not. "For the sheep that hear my voice and listen to me, I know them and they know me. And I give them eternal life. And they will never, ever, by any means, perish. And no one will ever snatch them from my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater and mightier than all. And no one is able to snatch them from my Father's hand. And I and the Father are one in essence and nature." Guys, I don't need to see a somber face now. And if we are His children, or if we are His sheep, if we are His, what does that mean to us? We can't be snatched away. And I'll give you this one. I have an issue with doubt, with worry, with worthiness. That's one of my biggest problems. That's me. But I'll tell you this, God doesn't have a problem with any of that. You know, I used to tell people I was the best warrior in the world. Do you know why? Everything I worried about, none of it came out. Man, I was doing a great job. Right? No, I wasn't. The Lord was taking care of me. He's always taking care of me. I am His and He takes care of me. Do I need to worry about anything? In my humanity, I will. In my humanity, I'll be concerned that my sons, my daughters, my children, will they grow up? Will they finally step out? Will they finally place the Lord in the center of their heart? I can worry about that. I can be consumed by that even. But I shouldn't be. One of the bad things we as humans have to do, or we do, it's kind of like that thing about the living sacrifice. you know, as a living sacrifice. You know the problem with that? We tend to crawl off the altar. You know the other problem we have? I take my worries and give them to the Lord. Yeah, and then I go, Nope, he didn't take care of it in time. Back to me. He didn't take care of it in my timing. Back to me. My children still act like they do. He's not taking care of it fast enough. I still act the way I do. He's not taking care of it fast enough. I still have the fears I have. He's not acting fast enough. Is it him or me? It's me. He gives me everything I need. At one point in time, I lost a job. How many guys are in here? How many guys understand when you lose your job, that's your manhood? You're not taking care of your family like you should. How many guys are old enough to have that problem? Lost my job. Couldn't take care of my family. Lost my job, and it went so long that I lost benefits. I don't have any money coming in. You don't think that bothers you? Lost my job, and I'm a child of Christ. I'm one of His sheep. He's the good shepherd. He's protecting me. He's watching over me. And what am I thinking? Bah, I ought to go stick my head in water. Bah, I need to leave. I need to do something stupid. Because that's what sheep do. He's protecting me. He also sent people in my life to keep me from being too crazy. But I'll tell you this, I went a year and a half with no income. Have you ever tried to do that? Yeah, year and a half, no income. I was going crazy. I done decided that I couldn't be a teacher anymore because I needed a job and teaching wasn't happening. I had to do something. I had to do anything. And then they called up and said, okay, anyways, long story. But one of the things I want to get at here is this. During that whole time, did I miss bills? He took care of them. Came in from I don't know where. We get a check in the mail, we'd overpaid something. We get a check in the mail, somebody owed us something. We get a check in the mail. It kept coming in. We kept paying bills. Don't know how. I know Steph had black hair before all that started. But I also know we still got our house. Everything came out the way it needed to come out. And I'm not saying that you have to trust in the Lord. Yes, I am. And I'm not saying that if you're one of His sheep, He'll take care of you. Yes, I am. But I'm trying to get across to you is, are you listening to His voice? Are you listening to those voices in your head that's trying to walk you away? He's given you eternal life. He's given you more than you know. And one of the things that really gets me is, how many Christians look at life and go this? All of my rewards will be in heaven if I can just make it to then. Guys, He also said He's coming so you can have life and life more abundantly. And that's right here. He is the good shepherd. He's not going to let bad things happen. He's going to take you to a place of green grass. He's going to take you to a pasture of peace. You know, at one point in time, I wanted a job. Right now, I got a job that's eating my hours. I mean, I got a lot of work to do. There's two other people I work with. They're both sick. Part of their job's falling on me. So I got a lot to do. I had 40 kids to start with. Now I got more. Not only all the things in my job, it's just one of those, you know, you just feel like, man, I can't take another one. I can't do another day. Except there's a problem with that. You know what that is? Where do I get my strength? From the Lord, yeah. Where do I get my strength? From the Lord. Where do I get my peace? From the Lord. If I get my strength and my peace from the Lord, then the things that's going on around me, does that bother me? Bothers me, but guess what? I get through it. Matter of fact, I come out the other side even better. As long as I don't let me get in the way, things get taken care of. I had 10 ARDS. Well, y'all don't know what ARDS are. I had 10 ARDS this week. Okay, I had 10 of them. Oh, yeah. 1 week. I think I had 4 Monday, and then the rest fell down from there. And that's not counting Friday, because we can't do ARDS on Friday. So it's 10 in 4 days. Hey, how many hours does it take to get ready for an ARD? So all of that time was spent doing that. It all got done. It all got turned in on time. All the ARDs were easy. No problems. All these kids were taken care of. What they needed, they got. Talk to them about future jobs. We looked at all, but the whole thing comes down, it wasn't me. Because if it had been me, sometime around Tuesday, I would have been a screaming idiot. Might still be anyway. But I'll say this, I had peace, and I had strength to do it all. And you know what's going through my mind about Tuesday? James. In all things give praise to the Lord. I'm His sheep. He takes care of me. I have stuff to look forward to. Whose sheep are you? Whose voice do you listen to? I know I'm getting a little repetitive here. But I want y'all to think about that seriously. We are inundated every day with the voices of the world. Yeah. Steve, what's the voice of the Lord? A still small voice. Is it the big storm? It's a still small voice. You ever listen to traffic? It's a roar. You ever listen to what's going on your TV? It's a roar. Same, right? But here's the thing. There's a still small voice. Can you hear that still small voice? Can you hear that still small voice? And the problem with it is, do you know what that still small voice is saying to you? Beloved. They sang a song today and it really gets to me. I love that song. Because it starts off with something that we take as a negative. But it's a big, huge positive. You know what it starts off with? Huh? My Lord is jealous for me. His love is like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the wind and weight of His mercy. The Lord is jealous for me. He wants my attention. He wants my relationship.
Grace is not from
That song is amazing, isn't it? Have you never thought about it through those terms? Jealousy is a good thing. We look at it as a bad thing, but man, how many of y'all are bending beneath the wind and the weight of His mercy? How many of y'all understand the love that He's pouring out? You know, one of the things that gets me is it's like this cup. We're telling the Lord, we want this much Holy Spirit. You know how He gives it to us? Fire hose. Not a drop. He gives it to us in a fire hose. And you know the problem we have? How much of it do we catch? Only as much as we pour out. Now I'm going to ask you another question. Had two questions. That was one. Whose voice are you listening to? Second voice right now is, y'all know what remembrance means? If I asked you what remembrance means, what comes to mind? Recall. Remembrance. What is remembrance? Recall. How many of y'all have lost loved ones? How many of y'all can recall those loved ones? How many of y'all do that with fondness? How many of y'all are looking forward to the day you see them again? Amen. How many of y'all had somebody do something really good for you? Amazingly good. How many of y'all remember that? How many of y'all had somebody do something for you that you can't even imagine what they've done? You only get the scratch of the scratch. You see it, though it's dimly done. How many of y'all can remember that? I can't tell you all of what Jesus did for us. I'm not good enough. My words aren't eloquent enough. I'm not Catholic enough. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Yes. Jesus was raised again for our perpetuation. How's that a big word? Right? What does that mean? That He died for our sins and was raised for us. I'll give you this one. How many of y'all think about the sacrifice He made to come as a baby? Because Jesus not only died for our sins, He lived His life for us. He came as a baby. He lived a life. He walked this earth. And I'm still wrapping my mind around that. I still work on that. That He took away all of my excuses. He did what He did, so I have nothing. You know, that's another one of those that when you start doing it, you turn sideways, then you end up on top of your head. Because it's not that He never sinned. Are you ready for this one? Throw in there. There was a possibility He could have. Whoa, what do you mean He could have? He was God, He couldn't sin. No, He was human, He could have. And I don't even know what I would have done to the universe if He'd have done it. I don't want to go there. But I want to understand that He came to this earth. He gave up everything to be like me. Why shouldn't I remember that? He walked this earth and He knew the cost it was going to cost Him. And I want y'all to understand something else. Jesus was beaten, what was it, 39 times? Why not 40?
That'd kill you.
So he's beaten one less than death. He was spit on. He was mocked. He was made fun of. He was taunted and jeered at.
It's our one dream.
He was carried to a cross. Had mocking the crown of thorn. He was crucified, which is not just killed. It's a terrible way to die. But it's also, in the Jewish tradition, a shameful way to die. So there's not only just the fact that he was killed cruelly, he was put to shame also. This was done in front of his family. His mother was there to watch the thing. The whole time this was going on, he had a pack of angels sitting there on his shoulder going, "Hey boss, turn us loose, we'll stop it." How's that for you? You ever thought about that part? That he had that little angel that was trying to do good. It was whispering in his ear, "Let's go." You think what we did to Sodom and Gomorrah was bad? What we did to Jerusalem? They won't even be able to put in the history books. Not two dust motes will be standing next to each other. And he said, "Not my will." And as bad as all that sounds, that's not the thing that made him sweat blood. What's the one thing? All of y'all have that one thing. You know that? Y'all ever listen to Meatloaf? What's that got to do with anything? Y'all know who Meatloaf is?
A long time ago.
A long time ago. He had a song out a long time ago. Dr. Pepper used it as a commercial. "I'll do anything for love. But I won't do that." And then Dr. Pepper, the guy won't let his girlfriend have the Dr. Pepper. When she tries to get it, he takes it and they're out and it's over. What's the one thing? "I'll do anything for love, but I won't do that." We got that. There's something in our nature that has that. "I'll do anything for you, baby, but I won't do that." Christ had that too. Did you know that? He had that line. There's a line on the ground right here. I'm not crossing that line. I don't care. I'll pray to God and make sure. But in his prayers, he even said, "You know that line? It don't matter. Your will, not mine." And then he crossed the line. Y'all understand what that line was? When he took on my sin, what happened to him? God turned away. Somebody that had been in communion with God since before time. Someone who has all his actions was about the relationship between him and the Father. Broke the relationship. And God turned his back on him at the moment of his most need. And you know what? Once again, Christ gets to say something I can't do. Because in my most need, is God ever going to turn his back on me? That's when he's going to wrap me up and hug me. So once again, when I get before Christ and get to say, he looks at me and I can say, "Yeah, you're right. I don't." He did the one thing. Did it for me. Remembrance. We're about to take communion. And when we take communion, we do this for remembrance. For as often as we do it in remembrance for what he did. Not the fact that he died on the cross, but the whole fact. I want y'all to think about this. Paul gives a warning. And you got to think about this kind of sideways after I tell you. "Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." You know what the sideways part of that is? I'm just going to ask you a sideways question. If you can eat of it of an unworthy manner, what's the sideways to that? Then you can eat of it of a worthy manner. In other words, if you eat of it of an unworthy manner, you're guilty. But if you eat of it of a worthy manner, you've been, I'm not going to say innocent, but innocent is the word to use, though. Because you are innocent in the eyes of the Lord. Your sins are no longer there. It's not a pardon. It's past that. It's gone. It's as far as the east is from the west. And innocent isn't the word I'd use, but I don't know what word to use because I'm not eloquent enough. I'm not vocal enough to express exactly how great that is. But I can tell you this. An unworthy manner in basic terms means to sicken and die. To eat in it of a worthy manner would mean then what? Not just absolve, to have life and life abundantly. Even better. So when we take of the Lord's Supper, when we take of the love offering, however you want to call it, when we take of this, if we do it in a worthy manner, then that means we're taking it for life. We're taking the blood and the body of Christ. Now I'm going to throw this one on you. What's a worthy manner? Huh? I'd throw reverent in there for sure. Thankfulness, joyfully, humility in relationship with God. Man, that's it, isn't it? You know, everybody tries to come up with all these formulas and stuff. You know, pick on the Catholics one more time. You know, you got to figure out how to do the right ritual. This ain't a ritual. Amen. This is a relationship. Amen. If you come into it in that relationship where you're reverent and you're humble and you're looking at how this thing comes about and who's who in it and what we've been given, if we remember what we've been given, that's the blood and the body of Christ. The Catholics got that part right. The ultimate gift. That brings life to you. That brings abundant life to you. And every time we do this in that joy. We do that in that reverence. And that comes, right, Kurt? I mean, it's a home run, right? Touchdown, whatever. Praise God. So we're about to do this. The band's coming up. Rafi?